Evening, everyone. Welcome to the Knackered Football Show. Joining myself and DJ, we welcome back, surprisingly, we welcome back the Vulture.
Good evening.
From his tour, he's just been up Alpe d'Huez and back, haven't you?
Yeah, a bit easy. Of a tour of Britain. Yeah, it was immense fun. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, we'll talk about that before we start the show. Studio@icrfm.co.uk if you want to email in. nakedfooty@yahoo.co.uk if you want to email in during the week. And you can even twat me on just Sibelius7, and you can try and do it that way. I'll set up a proper one for next year. Right, so Vulch, yeah, how was it? Yeah. Vulch has just done a cycle ride. Actually, Vulch, you tell everyone, because it's a charity cycle ride. What was it all
for?
Yeah,
I did a charity cycle ride, because my company has got a corporate charity out in China it supports. And we also, as an office, to do some fundraising for the East Anglian Children's Home. So over a year ago now, I thought, I know, I'm going to cycle between all the offices in the country that our company does. The company's World Transport Agency. I better give them a plug, otherwise I might find myself out of a job. But we started in Manchester, day one, Manchester to Birmingham. Nice little 86-mile jaunt. Which we fought through snow and.
I was going to say, yeah. You picked spring, didn't you? Thinking it wouldn't be too hot and it wouldn't be too cold, and yeah. It was freezing.
It was freezing, yeah. It was snowing like Christmas up on the Staffordshire Moorlands, freezing all the way to Birmingham. The second day was when my colleague tore his knee tendons, and my knees were pretty bad. So we managed 40 miles the following day. And on Good Friday, nice, lovely sunny day for a bit crisp, we went from Aylesbury to our office in Hampton. And my colleague, Graham Page, fair play to him, that was 45 miles. He did it practically on one leg.
Really?
The idea was we were going to then bike across London to Chelmsford, which is another 60-odd miles, but poor Graham's legs weren't up for it. So yeah. We thought we'd save him for the grand finale, which was Chelmsford to home on Saturday, the day we beat Leeds 3-0. So, it was hard work again. Snow on the last day in our faces in the Chelmsford Alps.
Oh.
But we got home. We got home at about 5:10, so a triumphant welcome in Felixstowe. So it was about 235 miles in all, 4 days. It's taken me about a week to recover. But now I'm kind of thinking about the next one. So I've got the bug.
And you did raise some money, presumably?
Yeah, we raised about £2,500 so far.
Blimey, that's not bad, is it?
We'll get the, if anyone does want to make a donation out there, I think the it's on the Those Were the Days website, but I'll have a word with Mr. Ham, see if he'll do another plug for me. And you can donate there. Every penny counts. And make my poor aching limbs, make it all worthwhile.
He's just had a pre-show chocolate bar.
I thought you were
going to
say massage or something then.
No, unless there's a chocolate bar.
Here earlier, otherwise.
Yeah.
There's a chocolate bar called a massage. He's not. Yes. He's had one that used to be called something to do with running a long distance, about 26 miles, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, it was that one. I had one of those. I'm having a couple of weeks off eating what I like and drinking what I like and not going to the gym, and then I'm back on it for the next challenge.
When's the next one going to be, do you think?
I don't know. I'm just going to keep cycling and keep fit.
Make sure it's in the summer anyway.
I will make sure it's in the summer, yeah. But because we've beaten Leeds 3-0, I've had Mick McCarthy on the phone saying, have you got any more charity cycle rides planned for the rest of the season?
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, well, just go on one every time the town are playing.
Exactly.
That would be ideal.
It's the only one I've missed all season.
There is one suggestion. I know that Huddersfield, what they've put in place, is they always travel to their last game of the season, either to the away ground or from the away ground to home, depending which of us. So we could do one as town. We could get one going, couldn't we? Burnley away. It might be a 2 or 3 dayer, but you know.
Yeah.
That's what they do. The chief exec and some of the coaching staff that can be spared, and a load of fans. And I think reading about it, they started off with about 4 or 5 hardy souls the first year.
Yeah.
They did something like Southend from Huddersfield. And then the fourth year was Yeovil, and they had over 200 people cycle over 4 days from Yeovil up to Huddersfield. So,
yeah, I think Robbie Cowlin, the chairman of Colchester, is doing a similar thing, isn't he? He's running from his house to every home game, which is 15 miles.
Yeah.
And then he's, I think he's biking. He biked to the first away game of the season, the last away game of the season, and they've got Carlisle on the last day of the season.
Brilliant.
Oop. I did cycle to Hull when the town played there once, a long while ago now, but yeah. From here, which was fun. But my brother lived there, so I had somewhere to stay. It wasn't like, you know. But
to turn around and after the game and cycle all the way back.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you know what? This appearance on this on your programme is probably the longest I've been during the season without watching the town in quite a few years.
It is.
I haven't seen them since the 16th of March out at Bolton.
Well, that's quite good then. You keep away because we've been good.
Well, yeah, we
don't concede goals anymore now.
We've turned up in form since I've not been.
What's happened to our Ipswich? Clean sheets.
I know.
Clean sheets.
What are clean sheets?
Yeah. I know.
I'll tell you a story about Saturday. I was moving house because I bought a new
house.
We
will get onto football sooner or later, listener.
This is relevant.
Okay.
I was moving house on Saturday and listening to the radio. We resigned ourselves to a 0-0.
Yeah,
and
I was exactly the same. I was listening to the radio as well.
And then we walk out of the house, and my mate who was helping me move house looks at his phone and says, "Hang on, we won." It turned out that
Carlos, it was one of those
up.
Sitting well, at
absolutely,
home,
yeah.
And you know, I wasn't actually listening on the radio. I was a bit of a white light. I was watching like Jeff Stelling on Sky Sports, you know, ticking over. And it was like, and there's been a late goal at Pride Park, and now
here we go.
No, that was the weird thing. It's like, hang on, where's that sinking feeling? Anyway, it was almost like. There was a little bit of anticipation there. Yeah. I was like, oh, let me just wait till he tells me what's going on. Because we've been battered for 90. And we're nicking winners now.
Yeah.
It's this team that keeps clean sheets and nicks winners away from home in the 90th minute.
If you're keeping clean sheets, all you've got to do is score one goal. I mean,
and if you score it that late,
yeah.
You know, generally speaking, that's job done. So. Yeah.
I walked into the chippy on Woodbridge Road. Other chip shops are available. just as
is that the one at
Carlos,
the bottom of Woodbridge Road?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It is. Carlos scored exactly as I walked in the door. There's about eight people in there and the whole chip shop erupted.
I think the away end at Derby kind of celebrated it.
It's those games you wish you'd gone to.
Yeah,
the last minute winner, isn't
last
it?
Last minute winners.
No,
especially,
no, I didn't.
Have you seen there's a photo of Mick McCarthy doing the rounds dressed as a burglar with a bag saying
points.
Right,
no.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him in his underpants. Jet took a picture of him, didn't he?
Some very 80s kind of shorts, weren't they, really? Tight and
bless him.
Skimpy, though, isn't it? But that was fantastic as well to see, you know, all this social media stuff now. It's very badly used by a lot. I mean, we had the thing earlier in the season with Chopra and his bag of money, which, you know, most people will be clever enough to know that wasn't actually his bag of money. That was just him trying to shut a few trolls up.
That's right.
But it was in bad taste, so he shut down his Twitter. And you've got...
I think he's reopened it again, though, hasn't he?
Jet and Noble prattling about with their videos in their car. And you think, oh, come on, lads, you know, concentrate on the job. But when you're winning...
Doesn't
and you've got the whole dressing room there celebrating the win, including the gaffer and TC... When they're kind of getting involved on it, and you think, well, actually, no, that's a good thing because there's a team spirit there.
It's togetherness,
which we've not seen since perhaps the Royal days.
Yeah.
When again, it was just like a devil may care at you, we're just going to win games. And they had that kind of spirit, and that spirit's back. Different setup with the way we're approaching football matches, but I think the actual team spirit is there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what's the general consensus then? One win away
one
from
win.
Safety, do you think?
I'm with that.
I think so.
Just for the fact that the number of teams below us haven't gained more than a point a game on us.
Yeah.
Well, Barnsley, 7 minutes of injury time they scored yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah.
But that was only the one point you see that they've picked up there, isn't it?
And Sheffield Wednesday.
Sheffield Wednesday
and Millwall were playing against each other.
I mean, that was a winnable game for Sheffield because Millwall have got this semi-final, is it this weekend?
We're happy to see Wednesday win because they're the only team around us that we play now. So Wednesday can win through and we can win through and our game, which is 3 games time, can be meaningless. But I don't think there's, with them playing each other, enough of the teams below us would overtake us.
Do we know who's playing this weekend, who's playing each other?
I don't actually know.
No, I don't know if Huddersfield are playing somebody.
They would be. They usually play somebody.
We've got Hull City,
Hull and Palace, and we've got top six teams.
Yes, which idiot said, let's have a prediction for the Palace result last week where we weren't even playing them?
I can't remember, wasn't it? I can't remember who
We had an email from Don who has just corrected us, by the way. It is next week, not last week. That was my fault, Don. Thank you for that.
I still remember the same prediction on that one, but I was glad about being completely wrong about Derby, being nervous about that. Probably right about the performance, but not right about the result.
I was a bit miffed, actually, because in my head it was supposed to be last week, and I was a bit miffed when I thought, oh, there's no game. Hey-ho, never mind.
I think you're right, the one win will be enough that we just can't be overhauled by enough teams to put us in 56 trouble.
56 points, you'd have thought. I mean, even in this daft league.
That should have been enough ages ago, shouldn't it? But it's just not.
You know, looking at the form table the way it is at the moment, even 2 points would be enough based on everybody else's sporadic form and having to play each other and not gaining enough points.
And we have got a, we have got an away match at Bristol City to come, haven't we?
No, am I dreaming that? You are dreaming that, I'm afraid.
I am dreaming that.
We've only got five games, haven't we? We've got Hull, Palace.
Hull, Palace and Wednesday.
Burnley away. Is it Birmingham at home?
Birmingham at home.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then Burnley away on Star Wars.
Well, they're not easy, though, are they? But
yeah. No, we didn't want to be going to Burnley with something to play for.
No.
Definitely not.
No, you didn't want to have to get out of Burnley and get a result.
That's a long way to cycle, isn't it? And then lose and get relegated as well.
But, you know, hopefully all but done with... two teams, in us and Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough, playing out a boring draw just to secure both of our statuses.
What, like that game in the 82 World Cup with Austria and Germany passing the ball to each other?
Exactly. Hopefully it'll be a point, we'll be at that, you know, kind of stage where a point each, we just do it for both of us.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see, won't it?
It is. It's just this whole thing. I mean, we're looking at, we are fourth still with the whole Mick McCarthy table.
Yeah,
yeah. The November 1st one. We're obviously top, it's only last five games, so we're top of the form table for five games. We've conceded 1-8, and that was the Forest
deflection goal against nine men.
Deflected.
Double deflection. A team that were absolutely hammering the door down and eventually got a breakthrough against nine. So, you know, I don't mean we have anything to fear. I can't see the sort of slump that we would need, you know, to, for everything to go wrong. I can't see that even happening. I think even if we kind of took our foot off the gas a bit, we're still going to pick up the 1 or 2 points over the games that we're going to need.
I notice Young...
I don't mean it's done yet, and I don't mean you can kind of think that way, but I can't see us being overhauled.
No, so, until it's mathematically impossible for us to go down.
You have to still approach it the same way, don't you?
Yeah. I'd still approach the games even if we are mathematically safe. You don't want to win every game.
But you can then start taking risks, can't you, and putting... I mean, I noticed Wordsworth played the other night, didn't he?
Yes.
Did he play a full game?
Yeah, that was surprising, actually. Yeah. But it's good to see him as well,
in a way. Yeah, it's good to see him.
Because, again, you know, if we do get to that point where we do feel safe or we are mathematically safe, then Mick can start to... Because he's kept the same team, which has been the right thing to do, as best as he can.
I do think, I said
but
this last week...
he can start to look for next season, how he's going to set up with the players he's got.
I think, and I don't want to... have a go at him, but I think Higham's looking more and more jaded. Apparently he didn't get very high good remarks on Saturday either. Just seems to be struggling at the moment. Higham just, you know, he's not offering anything. He's obviously he's a young kid, he's been thrown in.
From what I was told, he looked a lot better when Indoor came on the pitch and sat alongside him and kind of just secured it for him, so it gave him that. It's because his role isn't free enough in the, and you know, his passing isn't great, and he's we've been told to attack a little bit more, try and get on him and stuff in the box.
And he looks like a bit of a rabbit in headlights up front.
He looks a bit nervous when he's, you know, gets into nosebleed country. With Indoor alongside him, I think he's got that little bit of a...
Having said that, someone twatted the other night that when Drury's been in, we've got better results than when Indoor's been in.
Well, just because he has got that bit more of a range of passing and control on the ball. Higham and Indoor are very good at just protecting the back four, but they only pass it 5-10 yards, and if they attempt anything, you know, more adventurous than that, they tend to lose the ball.
Who do you think is going to start in midfield then Saturday? I think it's quite a hard game, you know.
It is. It worries me. You know, again, because we're still fighting to get the points that we need against a form team at the right end of the table and
going for promotion, aren't they? Automatic promotion.
But it's really weird, because I don't think we have been ultimately setting up to just sit behind a ball and park the bus. But we have been so solid at the back.
You don't think
it's a recipe for suddenly getting steamrolled in one game?
I think we must do it at some point. I can't see us... I mean, some people have said, oh, probably won't lose a game to the end of the season. I can't see that.
We rode our luck against Leeds, to be fair.
We rode our luck on Saturday.
Although one could argue you're just throwing bodies in the way. But, you know, they missed a couple of sitters as well. Not sitters, but...
They did.
The chances.
And Derby had an offside goal. They missed a penalty. They hit the woodwork a couple of times.
Yeah. You do wonder if it'll come back and bite us.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the kind of luck we didn't get at Nottingham Forest.
Well, absolutely, yeah. It doesn't even itself. And Leeds away. I was at Leeds away. Yeah. We should have won that. and ended up losing 2-0.
It's another one of those, if the team's better and you're going to lose the game, ultimately, as long as you get enough points, it doesn't matter if you lose 1-0 or 6-0, as long as the player's taking the right spirit and kind of, as long as it doesn't knock the confidence out. It's, you know, it's points that matter at the moment.
Yeah.
And points make prizes.
Because our goal difference, you know, we're probably not going to make up overall anyway, so...
No.
Yeah, and we've got that 15th place that we've made our own kind of to aim at, haven't we?
That's it.
Well, it is.
If we better 15th, then yeah, we've had a good best season for about 3-4 years.
Would be, wouldn't it? It's strange how bad it's been.
But I mean, where would we have been if the season had started with Mick McCarthy? We'd have the same ratio. Fourth.
Jeez. Yeah.
That's amazing. Show, isn't it? Yeah, and when you think we had a couple of real heavy defeats.
We still got hit, you know, for five and six in Leicester, first four games.
Yeah.
So it's a remarkable turnaround, Mr. McCarthy. Thank you very much for that.
Yes, but, thanks, Mick.
But again, like you were saying, you know, about, you know, if we have a heavy defeat, it probably won't rock us as bad as it had done before. But even so, under Mick, those couple of heavy defeats he had early on, I think really helped.
Yeah.
Sounds in a kind of strange way, but it gave Mick an idea and it gave him something to say, right, hang on, you're not as bad as this, and this isn't going to happen to us again. And this is why. And it kind of really instilled that belief. It's interesting hearing the likes of Carlos and Tommy Smith and that chat on Monday night. There was a supporters' club.
Oh, that's right, the Brantham, was it?
The Brantham Ball, yeah. And hearing them say about it. And, you know,
did you go?
I did, actually, yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a really good evening. Had Ian Milne there as well,
one of the directors,
MPs.
Yeah.
And also Jason Brown, which brought a nice angle. They had Tommy, who was the youngster,
right,
who'd come through the academy, who's about as Ipswich through and through as you can get nowadays at your football club. Carlos has been around a few places, been in the Premier League, he's club captain, but had a few issues himself personally. And then Jason Brown, who's come from the outside in, and, you know, he's coming to seeing it with a fresh pair of eyes. And Milne, who's been on the board for 5 years, but is now actually stepping up into a proper official role, as it were. And all their different viewpoints, and they're just saying, you know, apart from one of his international managers, Carlos had, Trinidad and Tobago, send Mick McCarthy and Tommy Smith says, you know, he's playing the best football under Mick, his best spell of his whole career, and what he's done personally for Tommy as well has really helped out, being a central defender himself, and it really helped him.
I could see him actually winning player of the year, player of the season.
Tommy Smith.
Yes.
Yeah, do you not
definitely
think so?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely, shoo-in.
This was the same Tommy Smith beginning of the last season, I was thinking, weren't good enough. He's just turned it around.
He had that, obviously, that nightmare at Peterborough, went out and he had a loan spell at Colchester where he, you know, they lost 3 goals and he virtually threw the ball in the net twice himself. He was responsible, you know, ultimately responsible for a really poor performance in them conceding, and it just seemed like that was it. Thankfully for him, I think the New Zealand situation has really helped with him.
It has, yeah. I mean, World Cup.
Get away from it all, where you're at your slightly higher level than your teammates. And the time he's had the armband there as well. And then playing, say, the World Cup and the Olympics and on a big stage against decent teams as well.
Yeah, and being unbeaten at the World Cup.
And being unbeaten, yeah. But for a penalty that never was really, you know,
against Italy,
they might have even done better. But so that, and it's this thing of playing every week and having the gaffer's confidence and having the, you know, having Mick probably putting a little word in his ear every now and then, just saying, you need to step up now, or no, hold off, or don't dive in there, or this is what you need to do, position and stuff. And having Chambers alongside him the whole time, just having that partnership.
Yeah, settled partnership.
Because we had that before. The best partnership we had prior to that was probably, over a period, was DeVos and Naylor.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
And I love Naylor, but Naylor was not a great player.
No, but he had that.
As a part, they were a great partnership because they worked so well together. And the same thing, Tommy and Luke aren't great for this level. They're decent. They're better than average defenders for this level, but they're not in the top bracket. But as a partnership, done fantastic.
Yeah.
Cresswell's got turned his season around a bit, and Stearman's has come in and done such a solid job.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, as long as the price is right, that's one player that we should be looking to sign up.
Yeah. I know, when I've seen Elliot Hewitt play, I've been quite
interested. Yeah, he's a good player.
He looks good. One for the future, as they say.
That's it.
Well, yeah, the future's looking brighter than it's looked for
and
years, isn't
Mings
it?
And they seem to be very impressed with Tyrone Mings to back up their left-back position as well.
Yeah.
So maybe there needs to be something, because we've got Kisnorbo at the moment, but that's really it, isn't it, for centre-backs beyond the front two. So maybe they need to kind of just fill in a body there, sign up Stearman.
Yeah, a bit of competition
and
at the back.
And then it's just Weidman, I think. You know, so this is what sounded interesting, because Carlos was sounded out by Marcus Evans. They had a long conversation. And
he was
surprised by himself, Carlos. He was saying, you know, Marcus asked his opinion on what he thinks, you know, not undermining Mick, but what he would, you know, what he thinks needs doing.
I should play every game.
Yeah.
Don't sign any right wingers. But no. And I think everybody, you know, they kind of agree with the fans, and I think Mick's on the same page. Everybody's on the same page. We just need those two or three bodies that just add to the squad. We don't need to rip it up and start again like we've done the last few years.
Absolutely.
Had eight out and eight in.
Yeah.
One or two loanies could be signed up permanently, the ones that have done better, and then just flesh out the squad. We need a bit of width, creativity in midfield, back up in defence. We don't need any more strikers. We just need them
scoring.
Talking of which, what do you make of the McGoldrick thing? That's a bit of a weird one, wasn't it, when it came out?
Yeah, that's a very much of a climb down of, well, we didn't actually say that. Because they never did, which
they
is
never
very
mentioned
interesting.
It, yeah.
No, they never.
We thought
said,
he was here for the rest of the season.
Which he is.
He is, but he just can't play.
No, exactly. And it was like, well, come on, you fans, you know more than we do. You should have realised that he can't have three
registrations in the season. Isn't it? So,
the same thing that happened.
I'd have thought Phil might have been on the case there. Actually,
well,
Phil, he's missing.
Yeah, he's let one slip there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, but it's one of those strange things. You know, we'd rather be a little bit further along, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Rather have something in writing, because he's not signed anything yet, is he? But he says he's going to sign, so...
That's it. It's all verbally agreed, but there's nothing actually, as you say, written.
Because I'll tell you what, there's a player in there, definitely. There's a goal scorer in there.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes without saying, banging the goals in for Coventry.
Yeah.
All right, he's playing at Coventry. You aren't exactly the...
No,
set in the world alive, but
where they're probably focus their play to get him the ball.
Yeah.
If we had something a bit more creative, and hopefully Wordsworth, if he can get a bit of fitness back now and can play a little bit more.
Yeah, him and Paul Taylor as well. I mean, be like new signings almost, won't they?
Well, they will be. Yeah.
If we see Taylor again, yeah.
If Paul Taylor isn't appearing on D wing rather on the V wing, But nothing I've said about that. He'd be partnering Guerin and Dor up front.
But that's what we're looking at, you know, saying we need with one or two players. We've got two players there already that aren't featuring currently, who would be two new signings to all intents and purposes. So quietly confident about next season as it stands, without having to really do a lot to the squad.
Which is, because considering where we were sat about 6 months ago.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing how different it is, isn't it?
Well, this is what the players said, because they were asked, and they said, you know, what did Mick do?
Yeah.
Because... again, Stearman for all. Well, you know, Mick, apart from that kind of right back, Mick really has got the same players, apart from bringing those two in, say.
Well, they were both good signings. I thought all had a catastrophe at Leicester, but after that...
Not knocking anything else, but they're the only two, or that one position, that right back is the only place that Mick actually went out and did anything major with and actually went and signed players for. The rest of the squad are still the same players.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
DJ was signed before Mick came and so on. So
yeah, the night before the Bolton match, last game I saw, that was my 40th birthday weekend. You may have noticed me on the pitch.
Oh, you were zorbing, weren't you?
Zorbing on the pitch.
Yeah, we had Phil on that week and he was telling us.
Yeah, so there are, but the night before I was over at the Holiday Inn in London Road, because my cousin was staying over there.
Okay.
Just talking about football at the bar to these loads of Spurs supporters and who should be stood next to it, Lee Martin.
Oh really?
And so kind of he was very impressed with Mick McCarthy. He says he just kind of breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anyone say a bad word about McCarthy yet.
Tommy Smith used the word. He hasn't done any kind of magician's act, and I know that's kind of Mick's quote himself. I'm not Mick the magician.
Yeah.
He said he's just come in and he's just said very simple what he wants from players, and you know, and he said he's pretty good. You know, he has a laugh and a joke with you as well. But if he needs to give you a rollicking, he will.
Yeah.
But it's not a case of you don't know where you stand, you know exactly where you stand. So you just get on with your job, and most of them are quite happy, you know, that they know and where the lines are and where to work with him, rather than walking that tightrope of having the head bitten off, or maybe under dual the opposite of being allowed to get away with stuff.
As an aside, it was quite funny that evening when these Spurs supporters were saying, well, if you've got a game tomorrow, how can you be drinking? And I said, he got sent off at Forest, don't. He said, yeah, naughty boy, 3-match suspension. And I think he actually went up in their estimations, these Spurs fans, because in fact he was banned for 3 weeks, three games.
I don't suppose he mentioned Mr. Keane, did he?
No. We wanted to keep it civil, you know.
Yeah. You didn't want any swear words.
Swearing, no.
Yeah, you've just said the K word. I can't believe it, Graham. Live on national radio.
Well, he's on telly every week now, isn't he?
I'm never going to be a pundit.
Yeah, you wouldn't find me doing that.
And we haven't mentioned JR either, if we say, you know.
He scored again the other day.
He did score again.
Oh, yeah. And Jason Scotland banging him in for Barnsley.
Hey, well. Did he score yesterday for Scotland?
It wasn't him, was it?
I hope not. Was it? Does anyone know?
A minute of injury time.
But he's been scoring a lot of goals.
Again, he's gone into a team fresh, with a fresh start for him, and he's gone in as you're going to score goals for us rather than you're going to go in and dig in the trenches for us. So I think it's.
Yeah. But in the last few games he did play for us, which was normally from the subs bench, he always looked quite impressive, actually. Oh, I thought
he always impressed me with his work rate. Yeah. He was always good with the
and
ball.
He's always willing to get a shot in, which is normally on target at least.
That's right. But he probably wasn't as prolific, or he wasn't the main goal threat that we carried.
Well, no,
we got to do more actually, of a workmanlike job for us.
And we've got quite a few strikers on board now, haven't we, that we all seem to be reasonably happy with. I'm very impressed with Mr. Noble.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, runs around enthusiastic, chases the puppy like a puppy, you know. And that's what I like about him. He puts himself about.
Yeah. And that's one of those weird things as well. I kind of looked at him, and him and Jet get on very well off the pitch. Yeah. You know, they've obviously become best mates off the pitch, and that's probably helped Jet along as well. There's a bit of encouragement, a bit of friendly competition and banter between them that has helped Jet on, because Jet has been great. The performances of late, isn't he, when he's come on?
Jet has, yeah, absolutely.
Off the bench, at both ends of the pitch, setting up late winners and also blocking off the line as well, doing his defensive duty.
No, I like Jet. It's just, as you say, it's just getting him to do it for 100% of the game.
And Mick said it's not for lack of effort, it's for lack of just being switched on to what he should be doing.
Yeah.
And, he seems a lot more up for it now, which is great.
Who do you think's going to start Saturday up front? Interesting one with no McGoldrick, so
it will be. Yeah, Chopper might get a
Chopper look and Murphy. Are you thinking
Chopper and Murphy maybe? Just because out of all the strikers we've got, he is the natural goal scorer, isn't he, Chopper?
Yeah,
he will be the replacement as such.
Mm. I think I'd go Chopper and Noble myself.
Yeah,
I would personally. Yeah,
I wouldn't mind Murphy and Noble.
Murphy's that's a little bit battering ram, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit too similar for me.
but they're
both very good though with the ball, running at defences and causing a bit of trouble.
Noble and Jet, there you go.
Noble and Jet,
trickmeisters.
Well, they've done well for the under-21s, so but, obviously a different level. But regardless of what level you play, if you can get some kind of partnership going along,
we've got to finish. It's all of a sudden come to an end. Quick two predictions. We have actually got Palace to talk about time, but quickly predictions, Mr. Vulch.
Oh, well, I think Hull, we're going to beat Palace at home, and I reckon we'll get a point off Hull. 4 points out of the next six.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Draw against Hull, beat Palace.
So you both say the same.
Job done.
Palace are on a slide, we're going to beat them. I'm going to stick my neck out. We're going to put four or five past them.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Right, that's it. That's a different. Right, we've got to go. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Till next week, have a good one. Bye-bye.